I desire your prayers this morning. I've struggled somewhat with this little message, and it's been on my mind and my thoughts for some time. And I think the Lord has a purpose, and we may not always understand that purpose even in messages when they are being developed. You have this little inspiration, but he wants to some way take our inabilities to make it into something that you've come out here for a reason and a purpose. You're not out here just because you wanted to be here. Oh, you say, well, no, I wanted to be here. In reality, we put forth effort every time the doors are open. There's an effort to come. And we can press against our feelings. And I know, because it's just part of humanity. And it's part of us coming down to the close of this age. We have so many things that can distract us and pull us away. Just pray in your heart that the Lord will take his word and turn it into something that will bless us all here today, and that you can receive it, because the enemy is sitting right beside you and saying, you know, whispering in your ear. Anyway, I want to just simply say that I am really depending on the Lord. And I want to say one more thing, is that through this experience that I have been through, I still had the same desire to carry out the work of the Lord to my last breath. And that's just what I want to proclaim. Well, I have a song I want us to sing, and number 148. So if we'll all, I would really like to hear us sing it loudly. I would like for us to give it all that we have. I'd like to hear the sound of it. I've enlisted in the service. So could we sing that song now?
I'm fighting in the army of the Lord, and the dangers thickly round my path they lie. I shall never faint or fear, for my Jesus is so near. I'm enlisted in the service till I die. I will press the battle on till the victory is won, and I reach my crown.
Thank you.
Meet with Satan by the way, and his fiery darts so thickly round me fly. When the shield of faith he sees, then he always quickly flees. I'm enlisted in the service till I die. I will press the battle on till the victory is won, and I reach my crown and mention by. Grace of God I know, I shall conquer every foe. I've enlisted in the service till I die. Now the world has ceased to be a friend to me, and the ones I must have loved have passed me by. But to him I'll faithful be, who has shed his blood for me. I've enlisted in the service till I die. I will press the battle on till the victory is won, and I reach my crown and mention by and by. the battle, Lord. For the crowning day is coming by and by. Then through all eternity I shall shout the victory. I've enlisted in the service to die. I will press the battle on till the victory is won. And I reach my crown and mansion by and by. By the grace of God now I shall conquer every foe. I've enlisted in the service till I die.
Well, this song is a battle song, but it's also a song of consecration. I wonder, I haven't heard the song for some time, but it seemed like the Lord really brought it to my mind, and he reminded me that we're in a battle. And you're not going to take up your cross. You're not going to come and repent and choose life. You're not going to do those things without a battle. And so there's other battle songs that we have in our book, and I'm not going to really emphasize them too much, but I have a couple that I want to just give you some of what it says in there. And one of them is Press the Battle On. And it says, forward, forward is the battle cry. And we cannot do less. You may come to places in your experience where you stand still, and that's okay. The scripture says for us to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, but at no place does it say go backwards or turn and run. Yes. It says onward, onward to our home on high. We will conquer for the Lord or we'll die. Yes. That's got to be our consecration. Yes. I'm going to die. I will not go back. Yes. The foes retreating, press the battle on. Forward, forward, never faint or fear. Christ our captain is forever near. Be courageous. That's what we have on our heart this morning, is being courageous. And before I finish this verse, I have to say that I listen to the prayers that are prayed, like in our prayer meeting. And I hope that you'll start paying attention to this word that we use in our prayer when we're praying for somebody else. Aren't we sometimes saying, Lord, give them courage? There's reason for that. We need courage to go forward or go onward. But it says, be courageous, full of hope and cheer. You're not going to always feel hopeful and cheerful, because that's part of the battle. You're going to find those places that it's dark and there's discouraging, not encouraging things can happen to us. But then it says, with full assurance. That's where we can exercise our faith, with full assurance, in spite of whether I feel hopeful or I don't feel very cheerful. Yes. Press. Amen. The battle on. And that's just a couple out of that. But one more is 172 of being an overcomer. And I'm just going to give you phrases out of that song. Be an overcomer. Yes. Only cowards yield. Yes. A coward does not have courage, is not hopeful at all, doesn't have that one of having the full assurance. But be an overcomer. Forward, boldly go. You are strong enough. And I want to tell you, I've sang this song about all my life, But I come to this part and I always say, you are strong enough if you count it so. And sometimes I haven't been able to say, I'm strong. I can't say it. But you hold on and you don't go backward. Be an overcomer. He who stands with you is a mighty one who is always true. Be an overcomer. You are heaven's heir. Are you expecting to make it? Are you looking forward to it? Even if you're young, even if you're in your 20s, even if you're just a teenager still, you have to look forward. You have to keep your eye on the goal. You're heaven's heir. So with courage, press the battle to the gates. Those are just some phrases. And there's one other phrase of another song that came to my mind, and it says, be courageous, firm, and true when life's battle's waging. It's in the midst of the battle that you're going to have to exercise courage or seek for it. If you don't feel like you're courageous, seek for it. We've had to seek for it these past 6 months. And I know that all of these words and these phrases are familiar to us. We've all sang these songs over and over. We can sing them without even looking at the words in the books. Isn't that good that you've got them in your heart? But I look at these words and I say, that is our vocabulary. Our testimonies often include words that speak about battles. We may not stand up and say, I thank the Lord for the battle. And yet, he wants to bring us through the battles of life. So it made me think of Ephesians 6 and 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, and this is where our battles are. You and I aren't living as in some other countries where there's battles, wars being fought, where the people are fearful to even go out on the streets because of bombings or killings or part of the war. We're so blessed, and yet we take life so casually, and we often forget what the battle really is. You get so caught up. I do. I have. You have. We've got caught up in the affairs of life, in the cares of life, in our jobs, in our families. It's not wrong to be caught up in your family. You must understand. But we can become sometimes burdened for our family that we almost forget the battle that we're waging for our own soul. And so this says, but this is what we are wrestling against. Principalities and against powers. Do you feel the powers sometime? Feel like it's permeating the very air?
Yes.
It's all around us. And then we can just get accustomed to that. And we can just almost ignore that battle. But it's against the rulers of the darkness of this world. This is what the scripture is telling us, and hoping that we will be aware that as we leave here today, you may fight one of these battles this week against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's wickedness in high places. It's in our government. And you and I are affected by the decisions and choices that are made in our government. And some of those choices are not spiritual choices. And yet we have it in the word of the Lord that says to pray that you can live a quiet and a peaceful life. And we've done that. And so far, God has answered our prayers, and he's given us a peaceful life overall. And so we're thanking the Lord, but we don't want to lose sight of the battles. The verses following that particular verse in the 12th verse, it speaks about, it's familiar to you, about the armor of God. And it speaks about truth being part of that armor. How important it is that we hold to the truth, that the truth be magnified and enlarged, and that we hide it in our hearts, because that's going to help me to not sin against God if I value the truth and I don't get so caught up in the distractions that I forget about what truth is. So truth is a very big part of our armor and a breastplate of righteousness, and our feet are shod with the gospel of peace, and we have a shield of faith and a helmet of salvation and a sword of the Spirit, it says, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is so easily superseded by the cares of life. And we need to hold on to the Word of God. Then 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 through 4, just parts of that, says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And I'm going to ask you, do you war after the flesh? I think we can. I think we do. I think our flesh is very much alive and affected. Our flesh is affected by this world. And so we do have to, Paul said in one place, he said, I beat my body under. I take control of my flesh. So we have to be very aware that I can get into a battle with my flesh, even though it says we do not war after the flesh. It's talking about literal wars, I believe, but I'm wanting it to be in our minds as though we're aware that my flesh can rise up. But then it says what our weapons of warfare are. They're not carnal, but they are mighty through God. And it is through these weapons and this armor that you and I, which we're familiar with, but I, as I looked at that and I thought of, we've recently had Veterans Day, where it was very, it was emphasized those who have served in the military, and things were, meals were given to them free, and different things was honoring those that served in the military. But what if you went to the Army today and you said, now, I want you to use these weapons and this armor? They would say, we were crazy. They have other military weapons that they think they trust in so much more. So our armies today would not appreciate this armor nor these weapons that are, we count them as mighty weapons. So the thoughts today, we're not going to expound on what I've just given concerning the weapons and the armor, but we're wanting to emphasize certain character traits that is important to all soldiers, whether in the Army of the Lord or whether in the United States military. These words are important to them as well as to us, and it is the words of courage and courageous and valiant and valor and brave. I mean, the ones that serve in the military, they're trained to be that, to not only be courageous in battle or be brave, but they're taught and they're trained to support one another and to be there for each other. And I've heard it said they go through such rigorous training, pushing them to the very limit, and some of them don't make it. But they told the group, do not come back unless you all come back. And so they are observing one another, and this was told, I read it somewhere, or someone told me about it, but there was this one man, and they have, I don't remember, 80-pound packs on their back, you know, and they're having to go through all of this, and carry a weapon too, and this one man is beginning to lose his step, and the one on the right picked his took his weapon and carried it in addition to what they were carrying, and the other one took something else, and they went a little farther. They saw that he was again becoming weaker and maybe stumbling. They began to take more things off of him because he had to get back there with them. And they were his keeper. And this is all part of our battles of even among us, is bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law. We share in each other's burdens. We need each other, brethren. That song, it still rings true, that we need each other. And when you're weighted down with the cares and your burdens and your battles, and I want to help bear some of your burdens, or I will help carry something that you're bearing. Did you know that's what the saints did for me? That's what all of the saints did for me. They helped bear what I was going through. And it works. It works that we let each other know. So I'm thinking, and I just looked at this up a little bit, but you know, some of these soldiers get medals for what they do in a battle. Some way it's reported, somebody saw, somebody knew. There have been military men that threw themselves on a grenade to protect their fellow soldiers, and sometimes they gave their life, sometimes they lost limbs, and then they were rewarded. And you might say, well, what good is a medal if I'm dead or if I cannot walk again? And yet in the United States, in the military, it means something. And if they're buried and dead, there's generally an honorable presentation. And some of these medals, and I don't know what all of their, what they're really represent, but some were called Distinguished Service Medals. There was a Purple Heart. I don't know exactly what that represented. I didn't look that up. Bronze Star, medals of non-combat heroism. And I think somebody told about that in maybe recently about the, and it's a true story. It was in World War I, I believe, and he didn't believe in carrying a weapon, and he didn't put a bullet in. But this one man, he was in the military as a non-combat soldier, and he didn't carry a weapon. And they went through the battles, and God spared his life. And many of them, he received a medal for saving one at a time his fellow soldiers, got them down off of a cliff. They gave it for 75. He saved 75. And when he was interviewed, he said, Well, it may have been closer to 50. Well, 50 is nothing to sneeze at, you know, but he was a man that trusted God, and he was there, and he saved 50 of his fellow soldiers to live that were wounded. So he received some kind of a great medal to show his valor, his courage, and that meant something. So as I was studying this, I didn't realize some of this, but there's three different types of courage, and I'm just going to run through them. I'm not going to really emphasize them greatly because I want us to go on to other things, but there's a physical, it's called physical courage, it's called moral courage, and it's called spiritual courage. Did you think that the internet would come up with spiritual courage? It's there. So courage, this is what it's defined as, inner strength and determination that is powered by one's sense of survival, self-preservation, and self-protection. And I think that that's what most people would think of, is self. I may save you if I don't lose my life. But it also is defined as the ability to disregard fear. How many of us could disregard fear to run into a burning house and save somebody? I'm afraid my fear would take over. I might not have enough courage. Another definition is the quality of mind that enables one to encounter danger and difficulties without fear or a fainting heart. So those would be linked up with the physical courage, I think. But yet we can apply some of that to moral courage and spiritual courage, but I would say that the soldiers on the battlefield would probably be defined with these definitions. They would, maybe by adrenaline they did these kind of things and saved somebody. And so physical courage often, it does involve risk of your personal life and to save others. That would be counted as physical courage. Moral courage, it comes closer to spiritual applications than the physical. The physical seemed to be strictly something that is conjured up within me. But this is what it said about moral courage. It's daring integrity. I dare to have integrity. Did you know integrity isn't a common ingredient in people's lives today? Because we look around at super businesses that can fail because of a lack of integrity and honesty and... But it's the kind of integrity of character that refuses to compromise one's conscience for personal gain. Now, that tells us something. You know, I'm not going to ever lie for my personal gain. That's a moral courage. It also said, moral courage is honorable, standing by its own convictions and beliefs. It is a deliberate decision. If you're honest, and you know, I believe God wants us to seek for an honest heart, to pray for an honest heart. I do. This is part of my prayer. Oh God, give me an honest heart. Help me to be honest with myself. Help me to be honest with thee. I mean, God knows everything anyway, but when we're honest with ourselves, we're facing the truth about ourselves, and then we're facing the truth with God, and then I say, help me to be honest with others. That is moral courage. And it's a deliberate decision. It's thought out, and you've considered it. You've weighed the pros and the cons. We have a balance beam scale here. We have honesty or moral courage here. And then we are on the other side. And I desire to be honest with myself, face myself, and honest with God. So it's a deliberate decision to be moral, have moral courage. It says a man with this kind of courage is a man that will count the cost of his actions. Do you ever count the cost of your decision? Where it will lead you? Every decision that you and I make opens a door or closes a door. We can either go down this path or we can go down this path. And so that's, I want to be that kind of person, don't you? It made me think about the man that counted the cost of, said he was getting ready to build. And he made sure he had sufficient to finish it. And that's what we count the cost of our decisions. Is this going to deter my final destination? Because dishonesty can detour us from our final destination. I'm also thinking about the house that was built on the rock. Life came. The storms of life came. I want to tell you, if we have moral courage and deliberately thinking of my choices and where it will lead, life is going to happen after that, whether good or bad. And if we've made that right decision, it will be like the one that built their house on the rock, and the winds came, and it did not fall. So then the third one is, we're going to count it the most important, is spiritual courage. And I'm going to tell you that I have meditated on this and I don't think I have all the answers. I don't know. I can only look in the Word, and there's not time this morning to consider all of those that are in the Bible that are good examples of spiritual courage, but we're going to give a few. And spiritual courage is the one courage I think the world itself is ignorant of, to have spiritual courage. It is being strong and valiant in the face of opposition. That's what spiritual courage is. So as we consider some examples, time is getting away. We're going to do some reading now. And the first one is going to be of David and Goliath. And it's in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. And I'm going to just be reading a few verses here and there. But we know about David and Goliath. And we know that he was not a warrior. And the scripture says he had no sword in his hand. And he was a young man. He didn't have experience in war. But he had experience in another sort, that he built his spiritual courage on. So it says, verse 20, David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep. He was sent by his father, and went as Jesse had commanded him, skipping down. And David ran into the army and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, there came up the champion Goliath. Now we're skipping down to verse 26. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Down to verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. I will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war." Verse 34, and David said, "I have kept my father's sheep." That's putting that my word in there. "And there came a lion and a bear, and I went out after him and smote him and saved my sheep," the sheep. Verse 36, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them." So now he has an experience that those soldiers didn't have. There were many soldiers there that had no courage. They did not have any valor. They weren't valiant for the truth. So he said, "I'm going to do this." And David said, "And the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of this hand." Verse 40. "He took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones." And the last part. "And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." Oh, I love this story, don't you? Verse 45, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." The last part of 48, "And David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." Does that sound like somebody with courage? Oh, it's a lesson for us. And you know what came to my mind? Ne'er run from the battle, but face the fight. You and I are going to have battles, spiritual battles. We're going to be tested. Are we going to run from them or face them? David faced this. The fact that it said he hasted and ran toward tells me he was eager. He had no fear. He knew that God was going to fight the battle for him. How many times do we use that in our prayers? The battle is the Lord's. He will fight for us. Thank the Lord. Well, then it says, verse 49, David put his hand in his back bag and took out a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. David prevailed over the Philistine and smote the Philistine and slew him. What an example of courage and valor. Amen. And fearlessness and trust in the captain. Who's the captain? Thank the Lord. So, you know what happened with David after that? You think he lost his courage? He had times courage was contested, but God called him to be a leader of his people. And even to be a king. And he became a leader, Had he not demonstrated that courage, could he have had the army that he had of mighty men? Mighty men of valor that served under David? If he had been a coward, could he have solicited and had those that would fight for him? Oh, read it sometime. All that the mighty men of valor under David did. Remember the time that David only said, oh, if only I could have a cold drink of water from the well that was already being controlled by the enemy. And three of those men burst through at the peril of their lives, and they had courage, and they got the cup and took it to David. Did David selfishly drink it? He knew that it would have taken blood for him to have had that drink, and he poured it out upon the ground as an honor to God. Because you know what I read about the mighty men of valor is that God blessed those men. Oh, they did courageous acts. I mean, one of those men held a field all by himself. Another one fought until the sword was like it was part of his hand, and he couldn't get his hand off of it. And, you know, to have courage to face the enemy, they had that kind of courage. Yes. But you know what? We have a different enemy. Yes. We're not out here with, remember, it's not weapons of warfare that are carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And with these men, that I'm going to give you just a few verses because it was the battle cry. The battle cry was, quit you like men, be strong. Is that only for men? That's for us all. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong. Quit you like men. Be courageous. Be valiant. Fear not. Those are words from the Bible, and they were part of a cry of the battle. And I believe the Lord wants these words echoing in our ears today, that we're to go forward, onward, upward, and be strong in the Lord, and be courageous, and be strong like a man. Our men are so much stronger than us women, physically. I have times that I'm working on something, I couldn't get a bolt off, and I'm sitting on the patio, Levi and Rowan are there, I'm just about to cry. And I said, I need a man. Men are strong. Can do things that us women cannot do. But spiritually, we can all be strong. Yes. At that moment, my neighbor across the street called. He saw me out there working on a fence. And he said, do you need help? Well, Alan, if you'll just come and get this one bolt off, I think I can do the rest. He did the job for me. You know, that's so valuable. But there's another battle cry I want to give to us. Several places it's in the Bible. Be of good courage, and listen to this, and let us play the men. It's not talking about going out and playing, having a good time. It's demonstrating the strength of men. Oh, I value our men. I'm glad God made men. But when it comes to us being spiritually courageous, we all can be that. We can be as strong as our men. And here's what it says. Let us play the men for our people. I'm going to say this to our men. Be strong. Yes. for your people, for your family. Oh, God's calling for that. But he wants us all to be strong for our families. And then it says, and for the cities of our God. Oh, you know, what are cities? Could we say that they're congregations or all of the saints, like when we come to Monarch from every part and place and we're like a city? And if we go there and we've been fighting the battles courageously and valiantly before we get there, will it have an impact on the services, on our people? And he's saying, oh, be of good courage and play, all of us, be like a man for our people. And so, time has gotten away, but I'm going to give you what to go home and study. Go home and study about Joshua and Caleb. I specifically will read a little bit about Joshua before we close. Specifically, I want you to consider Joshua and Caleb in their spiritual courage when they were asked to go and spy out the land. And the report they came back, they said, we are well able. Even though we saw giants. Remember, David slew the giant? We're going to face some giants in our life too. But we mustn't be a coward. One more little point I want to make where Joshua and Caleb, what they said to the people. When they spoke of the giants, you know what they called it? They said, they are bread for us. Bread will strengthen you. So now I'm going to just give you if you want some real good verses, it's Numbers 13, verses 17 to 21. If you want to write these down, they're just really outstanding verses concerning Joshua and Caleb. Numbers 13, 17 through 21, 25, 26, 28, 30 to 33. Now, you can read the whole chapter, but these would have been what I was chosen. Chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, real good verses. So use these and maybe do your little devotional with them. Now I'm going to read Joshua 1 and 6 and 7 and 9 and 18. And it says, I'm just going to give you what God commanded. God commanded Joshua. Here, Moses, my servant Moses is dead. Moses has died. And the leadership is passing to Joshua, a younger man. A man that stood by Moses all the way, was courageous all the way. Be strong and of good courage. Verse 6, I believe. And verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Have you ever been dismayed? If you haven't been, you will be. You'll have opportunity to feel dismayed. And the last verse, 18, be strong and of good courage. The Lord commanded it. All of those times. And his record, Joshua was a very courageous leader of the people, of the children of Israel. You know what? God's not calling for us to be courageous for ourselves only. Yes. He's calling for us to be courageous for each other. Amen. To endure hardness. Yes. as a good soldier, and to say, God is able to deliver. Thank the Lord. Well, I have a song now, and I'm pretty sure most of you know it. I put it on my phone. I don't have it up here, but I'm going to have you sing it. We're giving up no ground. How long has it been since we sang that with a passion and with courage? So if you can, let's try to sing that song. And let me read my last final scripture, and I'm calling this the scripture of exhortation. And it's Psalms 27, it's verses 11, 13, and 14. And we can sing this song in closing. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Who's your enemy? It is the enemy of my soul. I'm not going to try to point at anybody and say, you're my enemy. But God can lead us in a plain way. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. We're going to have to do a lot of waiting and not giving up. Stand still, or going forward, or going onward. And then it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Well, let's sing the song now.